So what follows is not going to be as eloquent as a proclamation from Abraham Lincoln, but I hope that I'll give you something to think about and meditate on as we move into the Thanksgiving holiday. The passage that I just read should be familiar to all of you. It is part of the Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes came first, and then there was some more advice, and then Jesus shared these words. And the Sermon on the Mount, of course, is sort of like a playbook for living. Now, you might be asking, just what does this have to do with Thanksgiving? And I hope the answer is pretty clear. But I also want to spend a few moments doing what members of my congregation know I occasionally do, and that's give you a history lesson. And tonight, there are two people who are going to feature in my sermon. One, of course, is Abraham Lincoln, who is the greatest theologian to ever occupy the White House. And the other was a native of New Hampshire, the redoubtable Sarah Joseph Hale. And Ms. Hale was a widow, and she was the editor of a magazine in Boston. And she got that position after she had written a book and it gained some notice, and her talents were recognized. Now, the interesting thing about this book was that it was called Northward, and the story is very nicely told in this book, We Gather Together. And in that book, she wrote about tensions in the United States. And this was in the 1830s. And she could see that the North and the South had different views of things. And she thought that one way that people might be able to get together and overcome some of their disagreements was through Thanksgiving. Now, she's not the person who ever thought to do something around Thanksgiving. That was actually something that President Washington had called for during his time in office. And frankly, it was a tradition that had deep roots in the Bible and frankly in every culture known to humanity. So the idea of giving thanks to a deity was something that people felt called to do. But Mrs. Hale believed we needed to be more intentional about it. And so she began to campaign to get the United States to adopt Thanksgiving. And she wrote to five presidents, and it was only with President Lincoln that she got a response. Now, the person who got the letter in the White House was Secretary of State William T. Seward. You may remember him as being the Secretary of State who purchased Alaska. He'd been governor of New York, and frankly, at the beginning of Lincoln's term, he thought he should be president. But as the term proceeded, and as the war ground on, Seward became one of the biggest boosters of Lincoln, and he really became very loyal to him and supported his presidency. When he got this letter, he read it, and he thought that Mrs. Hale had hit on something that was worth doing. And he enthusiastically went in to see the president. And he shared the letter with him, and Lincoln agreed that he thought this was the right thing to do. And they polished up the draft of the proclamation that Seward had put together, and then Lincoln shared this. And the Thanksgiving holiday had its first modern iteration in 1863. Now, this wasn't the only writing that Lincoln did. Of course, he was focused on Gettysburg, and he was going to be heading up to Pennsylvania for the dedication of the cemetery. And he was, of course, going to deliver his famous address. And if you think about it, here is a president who's got war and disaster and his every thought. And yet, amidst all the carnage and all the loss, Lincoln thought it appropriate to give thanks. Now, I know that these are tough times, and that we're all tired of the pandemic, and we've got things going on in our personal lives, and some people may have trouble paying bills. bills or keeping the job, but we have so much to give thanks for. We have our faith communities, we have our families, we have our friends, and these are incredible gifts that we have received from God. I presume that everybody here has a roof over his or her head, and you've got food on the table. And these are blessings for which we should give thanks. Now, of course, we can all be distracted by things that don't matter. And it can be clothing, it can be electronics, it can be the media. We can spend too much time on social media. I could go on and on and on. And those things may be nice, but they're not what Jesus was talking about. Remember, the early church for whom this gospel was written was filled with people who lived on the margins, people who were on edge. And yet these people were being told to give thanks and to recognize the blessings in their lives. So I know this can sound a little bit flip, but we're not in the midst of a war. The pandemic is bad, but it's not the plague. We have it good. And my hope is that we will take Jesus' words to heart. And we will look outside tomorrow during the day with his daylight. And we will gaze upon God's creation and realize that is a gift too, something that we should treasure and give thanks for. So my hope is that everybody here will have a blessed Thanksgiving holiday, whether you spend it with family or friends, and that at your tables you will give thanks and say a prayer and acknowledge the bounty that we all get to enjoy thanks to the graciousness of our Lord. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for Thanksgiving and for the opportunity to express our gratitude to you. Thank you for all of the blessings in our lives, those that are seen and those that are unseen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.